How about our brother here? Just how much we appreciate him. Yeah, great. Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Guys, pleasure. We were in the wrong building, but I would have had fun by myself, I guess, with two friends of mine. But yeah, you fooled me because there's a bunch of trucks down there, so they could be guys hanging around there. Are they working down there or something?
Yeah, it's a long story.
Oh, okay. All right, good. That's great. It doesn't take much for me anyways. Really a privilege, as always, to be with the guys. I love this. I mean, at 7:20, we will be less than an hour. But again, Pastor Sean, so every time we're here, so appreciate that very much. You know, our Bible has these beautiful time periods. And I love when there's an exchange, what we might call the passing of the baton, David to Solomon, Saul to David, David to Solomon, Elijah to Elisha. There's these beautiful moments. But I want to bring us to a time period that really is important to us. We're not in that kind of change. This isn't a change of leadership. This isn't a change of a direction, really. This is a change of era, E-R-A. One time period coming to a close and another one evolving. And we're right in between that very time period. And so I want to bring us to a time period that became one of the most important moments in Israel's history. And as I always love to do, I want us to live it out together. If Israel had a failure, it was that their experiences never became lifestyles. As a matter of fact, their seven feasts in their year was not supposed to be something they came together, celebrated, and forgot about, especially the Passover. But that's how they saw everything, and they really missed out on what the Lord was doing. And so I do want to come to this moment. I gave my friend Stephen the scriptures, but that's not him up there unless he got really old in one day. Older, I shouldn't have said that, my friend. Grew a beard and got a lot of gray hair is what I really meant. So you may have to just listen while I read, but I don't know if he has them. Joshua chapter 3. I want to read several verses, and then I just, again, want to take us there. It's amazing to me that that I can't read everything, that always bothered me that the first thing the Lord says to Joshua at his 80-year-old moment of this change is that Moses is dead. But I realized it wasn't a detriment to Moses. What he was is expressing to Joshua is what you have seen your entire life. And, you know, it doesn't take much time or much education to know how terrible it was during Moses' time period, 40 years of that constant aggravation around the mountain. It feels like all the years I've lived as a Christian, it seems like to me that. He says Moses is dead. Again, it wasn't a detriment on that moment, but to let Joshua know everything he has seen has come to an end. And you're about to enter into a thing you've never, ever seen before. And I love even in this prayer was his expression that the very thing that's in your heart, the very thing that we're dreaming and desiring for is going to happen. And this becomes this incredible moment, one total era of time coming to an end and a new era of time beginning. Beautiful. Okay, you with me? Great. Joshua chapter 3, he has it right there. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, my friend. Even with King James, wonderful. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. And they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark, notice it's not an if, but it is when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, you shall remove from your place and go after it. You shall keep a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Don't come near it, that you may know the way which you must go. I love this. For you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 14, same chapter. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the Lord, as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the Jordan overflows his banks at this time, a time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up into a heap far above the city, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed because it was cut off, and the people passed over right against Jordan. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan as the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed over Jordan. Chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the tribe, every tribe a man. And he commanded him, saying, Take you out from the midst of the Jordan, and place where the place the priest stood firm 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he prepared out of the children of Israel, out of every man and tribe. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take every man of you a stone and put it on his shoulder according to the number of tribes. Verse 6, key. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask you, yo, yo, daddy, yo, what's up with the stones? That's pretty much how they would do it. It's King James. What do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them and say that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, that those stones shall be a memorial unto you and unto the children of Israel forever. Let's just pick up here. We're just about done. Verse 19. And the people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Gilgal, that Joshua took out of Jordan, that Joshua pitched in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, again he says it, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? What do they mean? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came out over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did for us in the Red Sea, which dried up before us until we were gone over. Verse 24, key verse, we'll finish with this. Listen, please. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Let's pray. Thanks, guys. Father, I thank you again honor and real privilege to be sharing with my brothers. Lord, we're living in a day together. We're living at the same time together. We're living at this moment together. We are believing you together. Tonight, Lord, let there be the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of this kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven in one freely given to us, a kingdom that cannot be removed, a kingdom that has removed all the limitations. The limitations are off. That tonight, though, there may be a fresh sight to embrace that which you're doing. That something will awaken in us, arise in us, a new renewed passion, renewed hope, renewed dream. Even if we're already hoping and dreaming, let it be a greater hope, a greater dream, a greater passion for that which you intend to do. Lord, that the generations that follow us will look back and say, it was my father's generation that did it. They stood, they believed, they hoped, they dreamed. We're living out the dream. We're living out the hope. Father, that certainly is your heart and certainly is our cry and our hope. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Several things, my brothers. I just want to walk us through this really quickly. The first thing, you're not going to be able to follow me, my friends. You can just get rid of those scriptures. I appreciate that. I got to get this out of the way because I need room. You know how that is. You don't mind, do you? Good. That's good over there. The first thing in this list that they never really learned, one was that, and I love this, it begins with they removed themselves from Shittim to the Jordan. These people were to be nomadic. That's not a word that we really use much. What it means is to go from pasture to pasture to pasture. It, of course, is dealing with with shepherds, with sheep. That's pretty much what it is, though. And there's times in our lives that we move from relationship to relationship, maybe church to church, not as frequently as Americans do, but that's just part of who we are. But spiritually, for them, it was a natural move. For you and I spiritually, I want us to understand that God intends for us to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. And Israel complained for 40 years. Every time the trumpet sounded, every time they heard this trumpet sound and it was time to move, they moaned, they grumbled. And I realized that in my own life, though, we naturally like to stay where we are. We want to be, we spent all our life, we finally got here. Why would we have to move? But there's something about us as people of God, especially in this day, this time, because he is intending like them. You do realize a whole generation died off and never entered into the promised land. Can you imagine this? He fed them 6 out of 7 days. Their enemy could not touch them. At night, there was a pillar of fire for probably close to 3 million people. Every day, there was a cloud the size of Rhode Island over them. Even when they moaned, they didn't like the man anymore. He sent other quail until they couldn't stand anymore. It's amazing. And they didn't even like him. In fact, they were rebellious. But I want you to know something about this God of ours. No matter what, no matter how rebellious you might be, he is a good father and he will take care of us. Always. But I want us to know, though, this generation lived with that kind of care, but they never entered into the promise. My life right now, and the important thing for me, is that you and I just don't get to the point where we're happy that he's caring for us, the enemy strayed, everything is good with us, but we never enter into the full promise he intended. So please, first thing about them, they never got it. They never understood it. We've got to continue moving from glory to glory, allowing the Lord to grow us, to mature us. As I said Sunday morning, that this kingdom of heaven might be fully revealed in the earth. And it's just not about the power of God, but it's about the character and nature. And everything about Jesus Christ is to be revealed in us, including his power, including his nature. Good? Second thing is the ark. I love what Joshua says as he's writing this thing. The ark is the thing that really separated Israel from every other nation. No other nation had the ark. The Philistines feared the ark because the ark represented to Israel and all the world then three clear things. The throne of God was in the earth. That means God is exercising his sovereignty, as we've always seen of the ark, even the movies they make about him. Third was the glory of God was there. The third thing it was that God was present. Not the presence of God, if you don't mind me saying that. And I love when we sing about the presence of God. But when I got here, I think finally when Pastor Sean texted me, we're in the sanctuary, he probably knew I was here. But when I came into the room and he saw me, there's a big difference between a face-to-face with somebody and knowing that they're in the building. That's the difference between the presence of God and God being present. And so they knew that this ark meant that. And I love this, though, because we can anticipate as they. It's not if we'll see it, but when we see the ark, that is God's throne established with us, when we begin to see the glory of God, because we really haven't seen the glory of God to the way the Bible describes it. And when God begins to be present with us, I love what he says. He says this, listen. When you see the ark, get up from your place and go after it. I love this moment because it shows this sitting. Maybe you've been in this place for 6 months, 6 days, 6 weeks, 60 years. But when you see this, there's this something that's changing with these people right now, that when God begins to move, when we begin to see the glory of God, when we begin to see this expression of God that represents God being with us, there's immediately this thing that Joshua says, listen, you've got to get up from your place and go after it. But I always was bothered by this thing that Joshua writes. He says, listen, when you go after it, keep 2,000 cubits away. I mean, if I know Jesus Christ has done anything for us guys, is that the gap between us and him was finished with Jesus. This distance where he was up there, we were here, he was somewhere else, we're here, and the whole in the Old Testament was we really didn't know what he was feeling or what was going on. No, I know Jesus closed that gap up. So what's this distance? I mean, what when I get up, what's going on here? It's really the number that I want you to see this evening. You with me, okay? I don't want to make sure I don't go too fast, but I do want to get everything in. The number 2,000, I'm not really a math wizard, but here it is. It's made up of two numbers, a number 20 and a number 100. Key numbers when it comes to the Hebrew number system. The number 20 is divine anticipation, or anticipation in divine. It's that kind of thing, you know, that I kind of live like this. Just this kind of, this is anticipation. It's divine, though, because he gives it, and then we just have it. So he's saying, listen, when you're sitting there and you're looking for the ark, have this anticipation. But the number 100 is promise. You know, it goes all the way back to Abraham when the promise was impossible. Just there's no way it could be. I mean, everything's against it. Our world's against it. Financially, it's against it. I mean, everything about us is against it. It cannot happen. What he says is, listen, I want you, as we're crossing over, as we're moving into this new place, as we're beginning to enter into that which he has promised us, I want you to know that when you see the ark, get up from your place and have an anticipation. What God has promised, he will absolutely do it. That's what I'm looking for. That's what he's wanting to build in us, that there's this thing in us. And he really is the one who's breeding it. There's this kind of like this, how's it going? Terrible, why? Oh yeah, family's not good. Money's tough. Stock market. I don't know what's going on in Washington or our governor. Or what. I don't know what. I have no idea what's going on. Well, then what's with the attitude? Oh, no. See, that's not really where I'm not really anticipating that stuff. I'm not really looking there. Well, what are you looking for? Man, I can't wait because God is coming in a way I've never seen before, and he's intending to fulfill everything he has said, everything he has promised. That's how I'm living. That's what he says to them. So here they are. Can you imagine the reality? The Jordan is here. They're watching the priest come to it. And I love this. I don't know if you noticed it, though, but it's overflowing. I love this about the way he always has us do something that's really not a good time to do it. It would have better across the Jordan when it wasn't harvest, when it was nice, slow. Not him. So I love this about him. Don't be surprised about that. So he says, listen, when you're coming, can you imagine? I can't spend a lot of time here. 3 probably plus million, maybe less though, because we lost a whole generation back there. They're making their way, and here come the priests with this ark upon their shoulders. And he says to them, listen, when you see it, man, get up from your place, whether you're comfortable, uncomfortable, been there a long time, get up from your place and go after it with a passion. Man, a passion, just this incredible anticipation of what God is about to do. And I love this. And so it says they step in to the Jordan. The priest's feet just touch it. And I'm not sure if you caught it, though. I wonder sometimes, does God repeat? I mean, my wife, if we watch another Lucy repeat or another Frasier, I might lose my mind. I mean, she loves these just constantly in the same shows. She loves those old shows. But does he do it? Now, the Red Sea, he blew it open. Will he part this? Oh, no. He doesn't repeat. The Jordan, I don't know, stood up on one side. When those priests stood in there, I could imagine what it must have looked like. The Jordan stood up. All the way back, did you hear to the city Adam? Oh, this is going to be important to us. So the first thing about tonight is we've got to be nomadic. Jay LaRue's got to be willing to grow. I've got to glory. Second thing is I've got to live my life with, well, I don't know. Is he going to do it? Oh, no. It's not an if. It's when. So I got to. We can live like this. We can, no matter what's going on, I can still live with that. Man, what's going on? I got this anticipation. This is what he's promised. I'm believing it. Whether written word, prophetic word, counsel, we're believing it. Now the third thing is the Jordan. I've got to talk about this, guys, because this moment has delivered me in so many areas. This moment has changed my whole life when I began to understand this. The word Jordan means descent, because it flows from the Sea of Galilee down to the, they call it the Salt Sea. We know it as the Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea because everything's dead there. There's nothing that lives there. I've been there. Nothing. Not grass, not weeds. Even weeds don't live there. Can you imagine that? Dead, nothing. There's nothing there. But the key is this descent. They stood in the Jordan, and it was clear that the priest stood there until every person came through. I'm sure some ran, but then there's always those people who are, I don't know if this is the right thing. You know, you always say, but they stood here. My Bible college students always struggle with me because of this is something I would have to teach. This book, you have to teach it. And I would say to them, and I want to say it to you, what this represents is a life of descent. You know there was somebody who came before us. Just listen real quick. His name was Jesus Christ. Let me just for a moment. You know that he came out of the Jordan just some years from now to start everything, didn't he? Came out of the Jordan. Down in the Jordan, out of the Jordan. This is the way divinity thinks. So he was God. Philippians 2 says this was. But there was something better than remaining in this position, something more important. So what he did, he starts this descent. He makes himself of no reputation. Then he takes on the form of a servant. Then he's made like you and I. Then he lives like you and I. Then he humbles himself. And then he's obedient all the way till death, the death of the cross. I mean, divinity lives in a descent. Humanity has to divinity lives. This is something happens when we decide we're going to live in this continual giving of ourselves. That's what descent means, because he ultimately gave himself fully for me. Oh, I haven't forgotten it. For us, for the world. I talked about it on Sunday morning. So I could see it in my students' faces. I could see it in faces. It's like, so you want me to live in a descent? I mean, it's about everybody else but me. It's never about me. It's about everybody else. Yeah, like he did. He never lived for himself. What? Why would I do that? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question, because I did. What would be the advantage? Why would I do that? Okay, so Jesus did it. Maybe that's the reason. But really, what would be the reason? Oh, I struggled with the same thing, guys. Okay. I'm going to be the servant. How about him? How about her? How about them? What about him? What about her? What about them? What about the pastor? What about my wife? What about everybody? Oh, here's why. Just you notice that the water heaped up all the way back to the city, Adam, and it stopped flowing. Now, I'm going to be very personal in this moment. So when Jay LaRue got born again, I had some problems. Well, they weren't problems until I got born again. I liked women, so I cheated on Linda all the time before I got born again. I just couldn't help myself. I learned later that everybody on my father's side were adulterers, including my father. On my mother's side, they were all adulterers. The Italian side, just they all cheated. I didn't know that. I was born in that kind of iniquity. I was. My father's side, we were poor and we were proud of it. I don't know how that's possible. We were. On my mother's side, we were arrogant, just. That's it. That Italian said. And here I am, but I don't even know I'm this person. But here I am. I'm prideful, I'm arrogant, and I'm like self-conscious of who I am. I really am. I'm afraid. And then when I get born, I realize, this is me. I mean, and so what I did was I decided, well, I got to really stop sinning. You remember this? So I'm gonna try to be holy. Did you ever try that? I did. I was going to say, okay, so I'm not going to be prideful. Well, that was tough because that was who I was. I'm not going to be arrogant until somebody arrogants me. You know what I mean? And then all this Adam nature flowed like a river into my life. I'm insecure and I'm proud. That's a bad combination. So I realized I was so struggling. Even years into my Christianity, I would just think, why am I doing this? Why do I think like this? I can't believe I'm still struggling with these things. Why? And then I realized, how can I stop that Adam nature from flowing into me? End it. All I got to do is stand in the Jordan and stay here. It stopped. So I realized the stuff that flows from my father, my grandfather, all this LaRue, just named them, It ceased. I stopped having a fight with this sin nature when I chose to just enter into the Jordan, which is where the divine nature is. But even better, watch. This is just the beginning of it. Did you notice that? And I love Joshua reads. Joshua writes, he goes, and the salt sea failed. It stopped working. I'm thinking, it's already dead. How does it? Oh, my dead works. I got tired of that. Doing stuff that was of no value, worthless stuff. Because I had a real issue, because I know you guys don't have these issues that I have. I had this issue of having to stand up for my right. Maybe you know. Even with Linda. Oh, yeah? Well, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah? Well, blah, 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 blah. I had to start an argument, a debate with people. I just had this, my family's like that. We're going to argue something. Is the sky blue? Well, it's not really blue. It's bluish. What kind of argument is that? But that's just how, that's my people. Maybe you don't have people like that. That's who I was. I'm thinking, what useless, I'm just dead, useless, works. But you notice when they stood in the Jordan, the Dead Sea failed. So the first thing here, this Jordan becomes important. So I didn't step out of the Jordan and say, well, I'm only serving for a few minutes. Well, I'm only living in the descent for, oh, no, 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 no. Those priests stood there until everyone, boy, if I had a dream, it would be that us tonight, we would determine for not just for our lives, but for our families, our neighborhood, our church, our generation, that we would stand. Because you can't ask a man out there to stand. You have to have something from God to stand here. You have to have a divine anticipation before you ever get here. I can't stand this Jordan and think, geez, but the people are walking all over me. People don't care. No one's thanking me. No one appreciates this. And how come that guy's so slow? And what's going on with him? I couldn't stay here unless I had this anticipation. Man, I don't know what's going on here, but he's about to do something. I can believe. It's just exactly how he lived. But that's only the beginning of it. You with me? This next moment is incredible because I live for this. And I want us to live for this. This is the best part of this. He said, I want you to get 12 men. Now, the number 12 is used several times here. Number 12 is divine government. That's what the number means. The government of God. And please, let me just one big parenthesis, it doesn't mean law and order, legalism. No. I said it on Sunday. The more he owns me, the freer I am. The more he governs me, the more liberated I am. I know that. It's fantastic. I was opposed to it. I think, oh, man, the next last thing I need is somebody telling me what to do that's bigger than me. No. It's the total opposite. It's nothing to do with this world. So here he said, I want you to get 12 men, and they're all going to take a stone out, and they're going to put it on their shoulder, and they're going to carry it out, and they're going to put it right next to Gilgal. Let me just talk about this for a moment. What's going on here? Because let me just say this. So first of all, there's something about these stones that create this government, but the stone becomes the most important thing. Peter will write that this stone that was set as a cornerstone was rejected and has become the head of the corner. The stone, my brothers, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Every time you and I choose anyone else beside ourselves, anytime we're willing to stand in the Jordan, so this is why I want to be here. I'm here serving tonight. This is a great way to serve. If nobody notices it, if it's picking up paper, if it's working with the youth, if it's working with the kids, if it's just waving to my neighbor, loving my enemy, we come out with a stone. The revelation of Jesus Christ becomes ours. God begins to govern my life. And even the shoulder represents the increasing government of God. The government is upon his shoulders. All of it is this revelation of Jesus Christ becomes a part of my life. And he becomes so absolutely real. And there isn't it doesn't stop for they had 12. But for you and I, it's a constant revelation. Some people think, well, Jay, you really... Wow, you're a real studier of the word. Boy, you really see it in here. Oh, yeah, I got to study this word. It's my responsibility. But that's not where it comes from. It doesn't take an education. to know him. It's here, right here in this Jordan. It's right here in this place. A stone. The first time I took it, I thought, because I don't know about you, but I used to have this scorecard. I'd put the dishes in the dishwasher Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday, there's dishes in there. Wait for Linda to do it. Now, I'm not saying break rank. I'm not saying they were foolish. But I had this thing. If I did something for you, you need to do something for me. He has this thing. I've done it all for you. It doesn't matter what you do. There's not a human that thinks like that. But that's how divinity thinks. And we've got it in us. We've got that nature in us. So that's still not the best part for me. But I will tell you, though, I'm going to choose the Jordan any day before anything else, because out of it, I don't want this, the LaRue pride, the LaRue arrogance, even the temptation signs with people. If they're talking about me, pointing at me, or they're saying things, or they write things, or some people don't even believe I exist. I have some people, prophecy doesn't exist anymore, and anybody who does is a fool. I've had people send me stuff like that. You know what I want to do with that? Get a couple of my friends to go over and have a talk with them. I wish he just gave Judas an elbow, a slap, sent the mosquito to bite him on his eyeball, something. If he calls him friend. That bothers me when he does that. He did it. That's not the best part, and I'm just about done. I love this moment. Can you imagine they're watching this? This is these last two things is the key. We got youth workers here, you know, and I still work with youth. And so over the years, I just thought, I think the first time I started working with youth, I was 23 years old, 24. I thought, well, I got to stay in shape. That's a good idea. Then my hair was long. I got to have long hair, short hair. You know how they've gone through. We've gone through stuff. The pants were big. They were small. They were tight. Big at the bottom. Look at the bottom. Big up here. I started to wear them over here somewhere. You know, I just thought, well, I got to be good. Shirt out, big shirt, tight shirt, little shirt, black shirt. I just thought, well, I got to try to, what can I do to reach the next generation? That's what I thought. I got to be able to reach them. I've got my own kids. I have great grandchildren now. I'm looking at my great grandchildren thinking, gosh, how am I going to even relate to her? I'm 60 years old, 65 years ahead of her. How am I? And I look and I think, oh, yeah, I remember. I remember. What will our children ask us about? What are these stones? Somehow, some way, they are looking for and will look for the revelation of Jesus Christ in us. The government of God in us, not by legalism. Listen, you look at me now. I make some people nervous. You know, this pastor's good at things, but I make other pastors just nervous because they're like this, you know. And I come in and I just be me. They had saw me on a video, so I don't know. But I make them, they're afraid. They finally bring me to the airport. I say, you okay? Oh, I haven't slept all weekend. Why? Because you're here. What? Oh, yeah, I'm afraid of, what do you mean you're afraid of me? Yeah, you make me nervous. I don't know what you're going to do next. What am I going to do? Hang from, what? I mean, I don't get it, but I guess, you know, just this, but I'm thinking, what? Somehow, the young people, it's not my personality, it's not anything about us. They will ask dad, grandpa, uncle, pastor, what is that revelation of Jesus Christ? What is that? That's what they'll see. That's what they'll want to know. That's what they'll ask for. In our lives, amongst us, that's what turns a generation. Man, once I knew that, I thought, man, are you kidding me? The Jordan is a blessing to me. I stand in the Jordan. The Adam nature heaps up, doesn't even flow. The dead work ceases. I come out with stone after stone after stone, and I can spend my whole life seeing him in a way I've never seen him before. Not so I teach it or preach it or prophesy. No, for me. And then my own kids, my grandkids, your kids, our kids, they'll want to know. What is that? somehow that'll rule over everything that's going on. Video game, all the stuff that I want to, that we want to, we got to stop. No, no, no. We don't worry about stopping that. Get this. Get this. And then, of course, finally, I love this. I hope this wasn't too much for you guys. I really do. I don't. It's because we're here. We're here, though. We're here. We're a changing of an era. This group, for a while Joshua was alive, they walked with him. What a generation this was. But once Joshua died, it just went right back to what it used to be. Worse. Final thing. I love this. So, Dad, what's the story with this here? Grandpa. Grandpa Jay, Dad, what's with this? Oh, yeah, these stones, yeah. Yeah, what about them? Why are they here? Why did you get the stones? Why did you pursue the revelation of Jesus Christ? Why did you pursue standing in the Jordan? Why did you pursue sacrificing? Why did you live like this? Oh, I'm going to tell you why. That all the earth might know the hand of the Lord, yo, it is mighty. Because right now they don't know it. They have no idea. They don't even know if he exists, never mind the might of his hand. He's changing that with us first. And what else? I love this. King James translates it, and it is translated fear, but we have to know what the fear is. It's, and that you might, and I want my son to fear the Lord, my daughter. They don't. My grandkids, they love us. They do. My nieces and nephews, they don't plan a party unless we're home. But they're not, they love everything about us, but they've not. Here's what it is. It's not that. No, 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 no. Here's what it is. Out of the New Testament, that you would stand in awe. Everything he is. It's happened to us. Oh, I appreciate our sports. I love our technology is amazing. It's just pretty awesome. What they do in movies, pretty amazing. I'm pretty awed by it. But I got to tell you, it doesn't even come close to how awed I am about him. Why? He is awesome. That the earth might know the hand Lord is mighty, and that you may stand in awe. I'm not tempted by the world. Don't be afraid of the world. The world, the spirit of the age is trying to make us, don't be afraid of it. They're afraid. Not the people, the spirit. Don't fear that. Stand in awe of him. Stand in the Jordan. How long? Oh, like I said to you, I love the people who run across. Don't you, Pastor? You know, those people, yeah, let's go. But I always have those people. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's not so bad here in the wilderness. Yeah, it's hot. And, you know, we don't have any more manna and all kind of. It's not great, but it's, I don't know. Yeah, but they stood there. I know that. No, I'm going to stand here until while I'm alive, every last one, while I'm alive, I'll stay here until the very last one comes. I believe I'm talking to the right people, the right men. Father, I thank you for just this time. Honor and privilege again, Lord, for a historical moment to become a present truth for us. I do believe without question, if there's anyone, any time period that we could be anticipating, it's now. But I can't make us get in the Jordan. You wouldn't make me get in it. But as a priesthood, it's where we can stand. It's an opportunity for us. I pray tonight that we embrace the opportunity. And that you cause something in us for an anticipation of the divine. You put it in us. that we're looking for you and nothing else matters. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to just give the Lord a hand for me, please? Beautiful. Yeah, great. So my brother down here that was doing the singing, thank you so much for it. You know, my friend, and I love this, it's this sacrificing and really much like the Jordan has been really your lifestyle. You, even when you weren't appreciated, you were talking a little bit in the beginning, I didn't hear you much though, but even when you were, there was limits to what you could do and limitations put on you, and you've always been submissive to that. I rebelled a little bit against what they wouldn't let me do. So I needed the Jordan probably more than most people because I didn't like being told no, didn't like being told that. But you, my friend, were this incredible graciousness that's been upon your life. And it always hasn't been easy. And most of the time, to be honored like this has not been your life story. It would be more like serve and no one knows, give and no one cares, and be everything you're to be, and nobody even writes down a little note of thanks. But I want you to know the Lord is the one who is retrieving all those moments. He's the only one that keeps account of the sacrifices, keeps account of what we have done, keeps account. That's why I don't have to demand somebody honor me. I don't have to demand somebody appreciate me. I don't have to do that. He'll be the one to do it. Matter of fact, he does it much better than I have ever done it or anyone else. And so you're going to see the Lord begin to draw near to cause those promises to come to your life. And where there's been some tightness in some areas of relationship, family, finances, the Lord is bringing an oil to your life, my friend, that's going to cause it. Almost see like the wheels just turn so slow. He's going to oil them so that that everything begins to move and flow like you've always prayed. This is really an answer to a long prayer, especially for your family, especially for the people you love, because you would never get them in the headlock. I've been known to do that. Get them in the headlock. You're going to believe. I don't care what you do. And then love them and cry a little bit. You would never do that. And so you're going to see the Lord reach into places that have not been able to. They could make their bed in hell, and he will still find them there. So this is a good day for you to rejoice and know that as you look back in your life, there's not a man in this room, I certainly do, look back and think, yeah, I wish I did that better, and I could have done better there. And I've got these things, but only the Lord can go back there and make all of my wrongs right. Not so that I stand as a hero of some type, though, but for the people I hurt or disappointed. My own family, I know that. Who doesn't have those? But he is going back and righting every wrong. And my brother, I'm just telling you, even the smallest sacrifices in the time that you gave where nobody saw, nobody cared, nobody appreciated. In fact, they were critical of those times even in many ways. You're going to see the Lord begin to redeem those and cause this inheritance to come to your life that should have been there in finances in many ways, should have been there in honor, and should have been there in promise and in covenant. The Lord himself is retrieving it all so that you would begin to taste and see in ways you never tasted and saw before. In your life. You're beautiful. My brother over here with the hair, love the hair, dude. Appreciate it, really. There's this real beautiful restoration time period that you're in. And I love this. The Lord began mine really when I was 22 years old, and here I am this many years later. He's still still restoring some of the years that have gone by that were detrimental, hurtful to me. Especially situations with my own father and things of that nature. And you're just in this time period, and it has not been an easy time period for you because sometimes with the restoration, there's process, there's waiting, there's very much patience. And the Lord does this work in his own time. But you're going to see the Lord really begin to reestablish you. You're super intelligent, my friend, really are. And that's not always been easy, though, because you so think deeply about so many things. And sometimes faith is to be so simple. I liked it better when I didn't know anything. I think I had a better faith then. The Bible hasn't confused my faith, but it's caused some redirecting of it. I used to like when I just went and banged my head against the wall. Who cares? Hey, I'm doing the kingdom thing, whatever. And so it's not been easy, but this is really a recovery of relationships, recovery of family, recovery of years, even investments recovery, the process of education that didn't always work out the way it was supposed to. All these things the Lord is involved in your life, and you're just going to see him. Again, I don't think most men I know, maybe not all the men here, don't look at their decade watch and say, geez, you know, here I am at this decade of my life, and look what hasn't been accomplished, look what hasn't been done. And unfortunately, being Americans, we grew up that way, probably just being humans, that for some reason at certain ages, we should have certain things, and if we don't, we're failures, something's wrong. And maybe we did fail, and maybe something is wrong, but this is the God who redeems not only the minutes, not only the moments, but the days, the years, the decades. Only he can, in one instant, recover everything. And my friend, please know this, though, that the Lord's at work in deeper areas than you really realize, than you really know. And some things that you're really good at just forgetting things and just, that's over, that was done with, and that's gone. But he's going to even recover those things. And there is going to be these next three to 5 years is going to be incredibly changing for you in every one of those ways. Career, purpose, vision, relationships, finances, home life, past and present. You're just going to see the Lord begin to do many, many things for your life. And it's going to be for people who know you, to see the redemptive power of this amazing Jesus Christ who we know, that his ability to do it. Sometimes it's only the people who really know us that really look and think, yeah. Even if they're your friends sitting here, I've had many people me speaking like this, and they have two friends over there, and they're both thinking he's nuts. That there's no such thing as that. I want to say, really watch and see what the Lord will do. And my brother, the Lord is anxiously moving in your behalf. Yeah, good. Yeah. So we're just gonna. Yeah. All good. Good to see you. Doing well. Had fun last night, right? I just wanted to encourage you. Okay. Good to see you. Yeah, good. My brother, you know, and I really love this about you. I love a man that doesn't, you know, trumpet his own trumpet, blow his own horn, as my father would say, you know, talk about who he is, especially when he has value. And my friend, you are an extremely valuable man. You've been all of your life, all of your growing years. You know, you've always had this military way about you, very orderly, very direct, very purposeful. And you go about it very nonchalantly, if you will, very, very without unspoken. But really, these latter years of your life, the Lord wants to begin speaking on your behalf more for you. And so you're going to see the Lord begin, because there's such wealth and there's such a deposit there. You know, I love all the there's always these metals and precious stones that are in our Bible that are all kingdom things. And I love gold and silver the most, and you have that. But the Lord has really invested these precious stones, rubies, diamonds, jewels, sapphires, all these precious stones over time. Learned them, especially through training, through relationships with individuals, having men over you, you over men, very much like the centurion soldiers. There's always been this faith there. And you're going to see the Lord in these latter years begin to awaken that within you and create, of course, all this goes by him. And just begin to have a greater expression amongst not just the men, but the people of God, a greater involvement with the people of God, a greater faith, because even if it's one-on-one, the Lord is really going to cause there to be a pouring out of you fresh. Because even when you came here in these latter years, you just thought, well, I'll just lay back, sit back. And my days of molding men is over. No, and not really. It's actually going to come in a new way, in a better way. But you have way too much that the Lord has invested in here, way too much that he's worked on in this vessel that he would want it not to be poured out. And again, the American dream, I know, is a certain age. And I'm not against that at all. But we're in a time period now where we absolutely need fathers in ways we never thought possible. I spent my whole life looking for fathers, and I realized the whole intent of the Lord was not for me to find one, but for me to become one. And I didn't know that, though. I fought against it. And it's not a prideful thing, but I was looking for something that the Lord was not going to provide for me. I needed to get this father so that I can understand fatherhood and so on and so forth. But this is all evolving within you. Even in your own family, your seed is very much like you, man. They're this, that way. And so the Lord wants to begin something in your life that'll begin to transcend into their lives and into their future. And you become a real key to to what the Lord will unlock within your people by your decisions for him. And sometimes we don't think that. We think, well, I just, the day that I walked into the Jordan, I had no idea how it would affect my kids, how it would affect my family. And I realize now, even if I don't see it, it'll be affected. And this is the really the day of the Lord's visitation to your life, the day of the Lord's changing in your life, especially in direction in regards to the idea of shelving yourself, retiring, stopping. Those are things I did when I was a younger man. No, you're really perfect for it now. Because you understand now like you never understood before. Men, people. Authority, under authority, in authority, all those elements, you just, yeah. You make me want to go like this, right? Just being around you, I get this, yes, sir, kind of thing going. You know, it's just the way it is. You okay? 8:10. If you a little bit more. I mean, they're just going to go home and eat or burp. Or sit in a big chair. I'm going to go home and eat, and I'm probably burp too. A little bit, yeah. All right, let me just step back here. I want to go to this side here. Oh, let me just do this first here. So, my brother, you know, it's just not every time, but it's just one of those things that I just got to encourage you, really, because it's like every year, every couple years at least, probably every 1 to 3, you know, I just have to look because the Lord's always adjusting you for the next phase of intention, ultimate intention. And you knew from the very beginning, even your earliest days, you're a coached man, different than him. He was more trained, military-like. You've been more coached your whole life. It's different. But you knew that you would always be a coach, be a man who coached men, be a man who coached women, just a coach. That come alongside, though, and continually set the fire, set the tone, set the direction, set the course. I mean, that's just beautiful. I love that. I get around you, and that's all I want to do is, yeah, let's set it. Let's do this. Let's go for it. It's the goal line, the goal line, the goal line. That's you. I love that. And so there's a new place, though, the Lord wants to come and bring you to because not different than him, though, but it's not that you've limited it, but you've really come to the place where you don't want to break rank. You want to be careful you're positioned properly, and you never would break rank. You never did. But the Lord has begun to cause a new skin to be made within your life. That's the key because most people will not be reskinned. It's the old skin. So if it's going to be an old skin, you can't pour new wine into the old skin. It just can't happen. So there has to be change, and you've been willing to go through the change. But the Lord wants to reset you again within the men, the young men, reset you again because you have and without are you realizing it, He's set within you a new faith. A new hope, a new dream. It may not feel like that because a lot of times it's seed, right? Times it's early stages, but it's there. And so even when I was walking with you, watching you, seeing it, it's just this new place of it's like moving from the college ranks to the NFL in a sense like that, to a larger arena, a larger because it doesn't mean you leave this church, but he's wanting to raise up a generation of young men and young women here that are set to turn the world upside down. We're going to the book of Acts coming here. You are so key to that. And maybe the strategy to get to it, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. I believe the Lord is reworking it all. And some of the old systems that were once in place, the way we once did it, are no longer in place any longer, and the Lord is rewriting them. And you're very much a part of that. Doesn't mean we don't do Sunday school. I don't mean that so much, but it's how to get to them, how to get them ideas, and he really wants to put them in you. You're so flexible, my brother. Some of us are just our jars. Some of us are clay pots. And the problem with that is there's no pliability with it. But that's why the wine is poured into a wineskin, so there could be a squeezing. There could be a bending, a turning. And I don't want to be a pot or a clay pot or a jar because then that means there's a limitation now on me. But if I stay flexible in his hand and a willingness to be able to move and willingness to change me like that, then I always know that whenever he wants to flex it, stretch it, pour it out in a different way, pour it into different vessels, I'm available. And dude, please. And I know that in some ways you're getting a little tired, a little weary, a lot of pressure at work, a lot of pressure out there. I get all that. But without you realizing it, in the midst of the pressure, the Lord has been doing something within you of a divine way and beginning to establish something fresh and new. I could foresee, I'm just going to say it this way. I could foresee a team of yous, 12, 15 guys who are just like, you know what? We're going to at least believe for a generation. We're going to at least believe. Well, we don't have a youth building. Well, we're going to at least believe for it. Well, we don't know how to reach the kids downtown. Well, we're going to at least believe that kind of thing and believe the Lord to set a strategy, to set an ability and a way to do it. Beautiful. Really nice. So, because I didn't get a chance yesterday, so we're just making up for it, though. So, and your wife was back there with you, I remember. The other young guy got it instead, right here. Yeah, which is, that was beautiful. I went home and I spoke to one of your relatives about it, but not all of them. Yeah, it'd be good. My brother, you know, the Lord has really, it's been great how he brought you here. You know, your wife is really a special woman. She's really a gift to your life and a real treasure to your life. This was not really your growing up life. This is not really the way you lived. This is not really, even sometimes you scratch your head going, I mean, I don't even know how I got in here. I don't know how I got to this place. It's kind of amazing because for sure you raised up thought I would never be like them, never be like one of those people because you're born raw. And I love that about you, I do. But she really was praying, believing, and hoping. And really, part of that was the covenant that her parents had with the Lord. The Lord honored it in her life. And that's why he came for you. And he knew what he was getting from the very beginning, but he loved what he was getting. He was looking forward to getting you. He was looking forward to creating a man that would be something even he couldn't believe, his family couldn't believe, the people who knew him couldn't believe. And so, my brother, you know, people would look at you right away and say, well, he's just kind of quiet. He doesn't really have much to say, but you're a deep thinker. You weigh things out incredibly. They wouldn't think that about you. They think you just kind of go in your garage or your barn or, you know, fix your four-wheeler, shoot stuff, skin animals. They'd be very wrong. You may like to do all that. I wouldn't want to do any of that. But but they would be very wrong, no, because you're not that way. You're very strategic. And so this is really the beginning of the Lord's planting you here, whether you've been here 20 years or one day or one week. But it's here he's intending to plant you and cause you to be a man who grows much like that that seed. What was it? The herb was it? I always forget it. What is it?
Mustard
seed. Plant you here like a mustard seed. And to grow in this place and be a part of, eventually be a part of the young leading team, the young men, maybe even with my brother down there, but a young man who stands with him and with the future as it stands financially, as a man with integrity, a man who teaches, a man who instructs. I mean, these are things you would never consider doing, really. A man who, and everything about your life without you realizing it, the Lord is using your life as a voice. If there's anything in my life, now I do a lot of talking. Obviously, I have a big mouth. I'm sure everybody, I talk a lot. Obviously, I talk a lot. But I know the greatest voice comes from my life, not my mouth. I know that. This can say anything it wants. This doesn't lie. It doesn't. Your life is what he intended. And that's the most amazing thing about that. When I was listing all those things that are part of Jay LaRue's issues, there's many things that you would relate to. You know where you came from. You know your family line. You know your people. So does she know your people. But dude, the Lord reached into that people and took you out. And even when he was doing it, the angels were like scratching their head going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with this guy? But the Lord had a dream, my friend, not just for you, but for her, for your family. And he intends to establish the kingdom of God within you and your people in a way they never thought possible. If there was a day that you could begin to believe for salvation to fully take your people, even the farthest ones that are away, the ones who deny he exists, he's coming for them all. Just to honor you for you choosing him and being able to walk with him. But this is just the beginning. Please understand that, though. You're going to find the Lord visiting with you. He wants to increase your financial ability. You're smart when it comes to these things. You understand that. He wants to increase your finances for you to be a giver to the house of the Lord, to be a builder of the house of the Lord. But he also wants to increase you in knowledge, understanding, in gifts that you carry with you, this kingdom of God, in the financial world, in the business world, in your neighborhood, within this church, within the men. And it's almost going to be like where one time you lived like just a stick. What the Lord did was he made you so liquid that he was going to spread you out like this. And there's going to be so many places that you're going to touch. He's doing that, though, because he wants to reap back to your family in ways they never dreamed. Bro, I got to tell you, I mean, I speak over a lot of people, thousands. You know, somebody was asking me the other day, and I was telling them, I realized thousands, tens of thousands. This is one of the most interesting things I've ever seen and ever said. It really is. Again, with all these people, and there's all different dimensions of it. And I believe this is really coming to cause there to be an awakening within your heart and spirit to the magnitude. See, we think that being big is, well, Jay travels around the world, or this guy pastors, or some guy's pastored, and they got these huge churches. No, that's not. That's just grace. And this is just the grace of God towards you and what he wants to do. I'm good. Sure. My friend right here that's sitting next to the other guy. You know, dude, love you, man. You got your phone all ready to go. Appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. And this is really beautiful, though, and your wife's going to want to know what I said, so this is good. But there's always been this inner cry for the purpose of God, the call of God. Even the ministry has always been a degree with you. And some of the early years were not simple. They were trying. Things didn't go quite as well. The teenage years weren't as great as anyone would hope they would be. You've not been on the easy road, I'll just say it that way. But I want you to know, though, this is really a fresh day of the visitation of the Lord to you, my buddy. You really, even though you work with your hands well, but you're highly intelligent, and you've got a heart that's enormous. And the Lord's been writing his law upon it. I can see that. And there's been a passion, desire. And part of you being here tonight was because you really wanted to hear both ways, hear that and hear this. Lord, is there a place for me? Is your hand with me? Is there a direction for me? Is there a place for me? And I want you to know, my friend, it is. And the Lord's going to gradually work you through. I want you to hear this very carefully. In your normal life's activity, God's forming his man, forming the vessel, forming the man who will carry the word of God, the power of God. And much of the things that you're hoping for in regards to the word of the Lord and having an opportunity to handle that word, the Lord will do this. This is right now, the time period, and over these years within your family. Don't look to escape. Don't look to change. A lot of times people say, well, I want to do Bible school. I want to make these big changes. Don't do that. You'll find in that scripture there's more times just on my average life day, the Lord is continually teaching me, continually raising me up. Sure, Bible study. Sure, education that way. Sure, get a disciplined life toward the scriptures. Sure, get to know him, talk with him, all those things he wants to do. And within your whole family, though, the Lord is intending to plant within the community of believers, plant within the church, and cause your family to be a family that has influence within the people of God. And so, there's a great articulation you have. You really do. You just have a way of talking. I kind of do this. This is me. But you, again, with the strong intelligence, the strong understanding, and you're a big man. You're a strong man. But really, the biggest part of your life is this enormous heart that you have. That's been not easy, though, because it's been tender, easily affected, at times easily hurt, easily disappointed. But that's because it's big. And so the Lord put that heart in you, knowing that it'd be vulnerable. But that's okay, though, because every time you've been vulnerable, the Lord's come behind to make sure that it was healed. But you've learned from it, and that's part of the way he's going to do it. It's how I come to know him. And this is the very place you're in. And as your life begins to progress, though, you're going to find a place, though, of standing with the men, standing with the church, standing with the leadership. And so this whole process is to do that with you. And there'll be a day in the future, my friend, where the Lord will put the word of God within your mouth. And don't, it doesn't have to be him, it doesn't have to be me. He just wants to do that. And it's really a cry in your own heart, though, always has been, though, about what, how the Lord will use you and how the Lord will work this thing out that you always hoped and believed he would do. Really, grandma's prayer has been a big one for you. But he will do this, though. He's just taking you in a way you didn't expect. He's taking you through a process you didn't know. But he'll handle it. That, I don't think Joseph knew how that dream would come to pass. I don't think Moses knew how he was going to deliver his people. But we know, because we got hindsight now, that what was going on in their lives, it was very much the Lord involved in it. And it's the same way with yours. So comfort your family. Comfort. It isn't about moving, going somewhere else, getting to this other place, going to that ministry. Those are all fine things, but that's not how we find him. That's not how he prepares us. And dude, you're right where he wants you to be. It's happening within your life. Sure, sometimes job changes, career changes. As I said, maybe more education. I had no idea. I just continued education because I just thought I should. I never knew where it would go or if there was a reason for it. I knew this, though, that I wanted him, so that's why I did it. And so this is a beautiful thing that's going on here. And you have a real advantage, though. I haven't met your wife, obviously. That there's a real strength in her prayer. Real strength. And it doesn't mean the Lord doesn't hear yours, but he's very sensitive to this, to her, very sensitive. And I would strongly encourage her and love her and appreciate that, because it's with my wife too. I realized that her prayer, there's something about it that when she's praying and believes, man, it's just God answers it. And so you have a real advantage there for your life and for your future with that.
It's good.
Thank you.
Thank you.